So a man walks into a restaurant with a full-grown ostrich behind him. As he sits down, the waitress comes over and asks for his order. The man says, "I'll have a hamburger, fries, and a Coke." Then he turned to the ostrich and he asked, "Would you like the same?" Surprisingly, the ostrich shook its head yes. Well, a short time later, the waitress returned with the order and said, "That'll be $22.40, please." So the man reaches into his pocket and he pulls out the exact change, $22.40. The next day, the man and the ostrich come in again, and the man said, "I'll have a hamburger, fries, and a Coke." He asked the ostrich if they wanted the same. The ostrich once again agreed, shook its head yes. When the bill came, the man reached into his pocket, just like the day before, and pulls out the exact change. This became a routine until late one evening, the two entered again. "The usual?" asked the waitress. "Nah, it's Friday night. Tonight, I think I'm going to have a steak, a baked potato, a salad," said the man. He looked at the ostrich, and like clockwork, the ostrich shook its head yes. Short time later, the waitress came over and said, "That'll be $41.62. So once again, he puts his hand to his pocket, he pulls the exact change out and puts it on the table. The waitress couldn't hold back her curiosity any longer, so she said, "Excuse me, sir, I just have to know, how do you manage to always come up with the exact change in your pocket every single time?" "Well," the man said, "several years ago, I was cleaning out my attic and I found an old lamp. When I rubbed it, a genie appeared and offered me two wishes. My first wish, that if I ever had to pay for anything, I would just simply reach my hand into my pocket and the exact change would always be there." "Well, that's brilliant," said the waitress. "But what's with the ostrich?" The man, after a long pause, finally answered, "Well, my second wish was for a chick with long legs who agrees with everything I say." I guess he should have been a little bit more specific. Well, we're in week 8 of our series, Diary of a Dreamer, based on the life of a man named Joseph from the book of Genesis. Lynn is going to finish this series up next week, so we're excited to hear Lynn preach next weekend. And then it's on to Easter. Just so you know our Easter schedule, Sunday, April 2nd, 2 weeks from today, is Palm Sunday. It's also one of our big outreaches called the Great Easter Egg Hunt. So that's in 2 weeks from today. April 7th is Good Friday. There'll be a Good Friday service at 6 o'clock p.m. right in here. And then Easter morning, Resurrection Sunday, Sunday, April 9th. And we have a great service planned for Easter morning. I believe God has given me a great truth to share with you this year for Easter. So make sure you come out for that. And then the week after Easter, April 16th, it's Water Baptism Sunday, and we're going to be starting a brand new series called Seven, based on the book of Revelation, primarily focusing on the seven churches in the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3. So we've got a lot going on as we head into spring. Okay, let's get rolling. Just to forewarn you, I was going to go a different route with this message this morning, but when I was preparing for last week's message, something in the life of Joseph jumped out at me that I'd never really noticed before. I'd read the story of Joseph many times. I've read this before. But you know, sometimes you're reading the Word of God and something will jump out at you that didn't before. And that's kind of what happened on this. And it just didn't click with me. I'd read it before, but it just didn't click with me. So after it clicked, I still wrestled with it. I said, "God, I don't really want to talk about that because it's not a very fun subject to talk about." And I actually wrestled with God for about a week on this message, determined that I was going to go another route. True story. But this message stayed with me all week long, and it was very heavy in my spirit. And then at the end of the week, when I sat down to write, it dawned on me why this was so heavy in my spirit. Because in this series, we're talking about roadblocks that keep us from reaching our destiny. That's what this whole series has been about. Roadblocks that keep us from accomplishing what God put you on this earth to accomplish. And today's topic is a huge roadblock. As a matter of fact, I believe if you get this wrong, you won't reach your destiny. Because to reach your destiny, and we've talked about this before, you need the blessings of God. God's dream for your life is going to be bigger than you are. He's not going to give you a dream that you can pull off on your own. Your dream will require Him. And so with that being said, if you have your Bible or Bible app, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 47 and verse 20. Genesis chapter 47, verse 20. To set the scene, the land of Egypt is now in a severe famine. People are going hungry. Tensions are extremely high. They've been in a famine for several years now, and life is getting extremely difficult for many people. Just to survive, people start selling all they have for food. They sell livestock, they sell their land, they're selling everything to survive. So we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 47 and verse 20. Here's what it says. So Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold their fields because the famine was severe on them. The land became Pharaoh's. As for the people, he made servants of them from one end of Egypt to the other. Only the land of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had a fixed allowance from Pharaoh and lived on the allowance that Pharaoh gave them. Therefore, they did not sell their land. Then Joseph said to the people, "Behold, I have this day bought you and your land for Pharaoh. Now here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land." Basically, it all belongs to Pharaoh. I'm going to give you seed to sow the land now. "At the harvest, you shall give back to Pharaoh a fifth, and four-fifths shall be your own as seed for the field and food for yourself and for your households, as food for your little ones." And they said, "You've saved our lives. May it please my Lord, we will be servants of Pharaoh." So Joseph made it a statute concerning the land of Egypt, and it stands to this day that Pharaoh should have a fifth. The land of the priests alone did not become Pharaoh's. I'm calling this message, "Dear Diary, I will not touch what is sacred." Heavenly Father, for the next few moments, I ask that you would give me the mind of Christ to present this great truth, Lord, in the way you want it presented. God, I don't ask to speak eloquently today. I ask to speak clearly. So what I'm about to say is clearly understood, and that your word would not go forward and not accomplish that to which you sent it for. And so, Lord, I just pray for that anointing today, the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage, that will set people free for your glory, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a principle throughout the Bible from cover to cover. It's called the principle of first. You may have heard it. You may have heard a teaching on it. As a matter of fact, I have taught it before. Basically, whatever you choose to put first in your life has the potential and the power and the ability to bless everything else in your life. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus tells us that we are to seek the kingdom of God first. First. As a matter of fact, let's read that verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Now watch what happens when we do that. "And all these things will be added to you." What a promise. God says, if you put me first, I will bless the area of your life you put me first in. This pertains to every area of our life. It pertains to our time. It pertains to our family. It pertains to our finances. When I bless God first with my time, when I give him my time first, he blesses my time. This is what I've noticed in my own life. I seem to get more done with the same amount of time. Thoughts and ideas come faster. My decisions are better. And this is what I've personally noticed. When I put God first in my family is blessed. I have an amazing wife and wonderful kids. I am truly blessed. But years ago, we said, "God, we will give up everything for you. We want to put you first in our family. We will give up our home. We will give up our family and friends to follow your calling. It's all yours. God, you come first in my family." Personally, we have seen the blessings of God. And so the only reason I share this truth with you today is because I want you to be blessed with it, but I also want you to see that I don't just preach this. I personally live what I'm about to say. This is something I believe in personally with all of my heart. I've seen with my own two eyes the hand of God move when we put him first. It's the principle of first. God has blessed my family's finances. We've always been faithful to give back to God the first portion of our finances. And because of that, we have seen blessings greatly over the years in that area of our life. Every time we get a paycheck, we give the first 10% goes back to God as a way to say, thank you, God, for blessing us. Thank you for the mind and the strength to earn this income. Thank you that I get to give back to help other people that might be a little down on their luck. We deliver food in the evenings when we can for a little extra income. And we decided when we first started doing that, that God, we're going to give the first 15% of everything we make on this back to you. So every week, Kyla pulls the first 15% and it goes to support the work of the Lord. It goes to help other people. And I only tell you this because I want you to see the power of first. Following the principle of first, I guarantee you, will change your life. It's a promise from God. All these things will be added to you. And this pertains to every aspect of your life. This is something that we have lived for years. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and they'll be added unto you. And I think back, and I know that my family has always had a roof over their head. We've always had food to eat. We've never gone without food or clothing. Have we struggled at times? Yes. You know why? Because there have been times that we have spent more than we make. Amen. Anybody else been guilty of that? Don't raise your hand. But if you choose to do that, and you can, that's your choice. You don't have a blessing problem, you have a math problem. We've made bad decisions before. We all have. The key is to learn from our bad decisions and not keep making the same decisions. Now, back to what we read just a moment ago in Genesis chapter 47. The people became so desperate for food, they ended up selling their land to Pharaoh for food to eat. Joseph, in his wisdom, he's seen that this is going to be a problem in the future because now these people literally have nothing left. What are they going to do for food now? I mean, when they have what they have, they're done. They have no way to buy food or acquire food now. It's all gone. So he comes up with a plan. He says, I'm going to give you seed. I want you to manage the seed. I want you to plant the seed. At harvest time, I want you to give back to Pharaoh 1/5 of your crop, and then you get to keep the remaining 4/5 of the crop and do whatever you want with it. It's yours. The people responded with great appreciation because this plan is going to keep them from, it's going to prevent them from starving to death. It's a win-win. However, I want you to see that there was land that Joseph would not touch. And I want to read verse 26 again. So Joseph made it a statute concerning the land of Egypt, and it stands to this day that Pharaoh would have the fifth. And here it is, the land of the priests alone did not become Pharaoh's. Joseph advised Pharaoh, do not touch the land that belongs to the priests. You see, Joseph understood this principle, and he understood it very well. Pharaoh, you can have it all. You're going to get it all. But I plead with you, Pharaoh, do not touch what belongs to God. Do not try to claim ownership of the land that belongs to God. Do not touch what is sacred. Because Pharaoh, if you do, you will lose the blessing. This land here, Pharaoh, it doesn't belong to you, and it never will. That belongs to God. You know what Joseph was doing? He was seeking first the kingdom of God. I will not touch what is sacred. This principle of first is all throughout Scripture. It goes way back to Cain and Abel. This is 2,500 years before the law was even given. Abel gives the firstborn of his flock. Cain does not. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 2, this is what it says. Later she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, now watch, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. Next sentence. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Have you ever wondered why Cain's offering was dejected? This is why. He ignored the principle of first. He did not seek first the kingdom of God. He gave God his leftovers. So his actions were proof. Listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. His actions were proof of what was actually in his heart. The truth was, God wasn't very important to him. God was important to Abel, so Abel gave him the best. Like Cain, his actions are a proof of what's in his heart. Abel said, I'm going to honor God, and I'm going to honor God first. He's the one that's given me the ability to get this. When the Israelites went to the promised land, the first city they conquered was Jericho. And in regard to Jericho, if you know this story, God said, give me all of the silver and all of the gold from Jericho. You don't keep anything from this city. I'm going to give you all of the other cities, but this one belongs to me. Now, why did he say that? Because Jericho was the first city they conquered, and the first belongs to God. As long as they honored the principle of first, God blessed them. But as soon as they ignored this principle, God removed his hand of blessing. As a matter of fact, you see a great example of this in the same story. A man named Achan. And you can find this story in Joshua chapter 7. He stole some of the plunder from that city, the city that said God said don't touch. He kept it for himself instead of giving it to God, and because of that, you will read the entire camp came under a curse. God removed his hand of blessing. It's important to understand something. Due to sin, we live in a cursed world. This world is already cursed. God does not say he's going to bring a curse upon us if we don't honor him with the principle of first. It's already cursed. God did not bring a curse on Achan for stealing the plunder. What God did was he removed his hand of blessing. They're no longer blessed. When we give God our first, when we give him our best, he redeems the rest from the curse. It's a redemption principle. Let me prove it to you. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. This is talking about our finances here. It says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and you've not kept them. Return to me and I'll return to you, said the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? So he's specifically talking about the finance part here as part of the first. This portion, you're robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you in your tithes and contributions? You're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Basically, I don't have my hand of blessing on you. So this is what I want you to do. Bring the tithe, the full tithe, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test. God tells us we can test him in the principle of first. This is amazing. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you. That's blessing. So it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Again, this is in regard to our finances. The word tithe here is a Hebrew word, and it simply means tenth part or 10%. God says, the first 10% of your income, I want you to give that back to me. I want you to bring it to the storehouse, which is the local church. We're going to talk more about that in a second. To advance my kingdom here on this earth, to help other people. If you do that, if you choose to put me first, then I will bless you. The curse will be removed. The principle of first is a redemption principle. Think of it this way. God gave his first and he gave his best to redeem us, to redeem the curse of this world, the curse that's over us. So even though you and I, we live in a cursed world, when we invite Jesus Christ into our lives to be our Lord and Savior, we are redeemed from the curse. So now that we know that, where do we bring the tithe? Now, this is important. Look at Malachi again. It says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. So we're supposed to bring the tithe into the storehouse. Where is the storehouse? It's his church. Why the church? So there's spiritual food. You see, some people mix this up. Some people think they can give their tithe to missions, or they can give it to different charities or different ministries, and those are all great, and God wants us to do that, but that's not where the tithe is supposed to go. That's called an offering. And it's so important that we understand this. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you in your tithes? And he says, and contributions. Contributions are translated as offerings. Those are different. The first 10% is the tithe. Bringing the tithe into the storehouse, this is what I've noticed in my own life. Again, you can do this or you cannot do it. It's up to you. I'm just teaching you what the Word of God says, and I'm teaching you what I practice. I bring the tithe into the storehouse, I will rebuke the devourer in your life. The first 10% is how you honor the principle of first. Anything above that is an offering. God does not instruct us to bring our offerings to the storehouse, only the tithe. We can bring our offering to the storehouse to support certain ministries and projects. Many people do that, but they are two different things. I remember years ago, I used to think like this. We gave 10%, but I gave some to help. I wanted to help missionaries as well, so we brought 5% in tithe, and we gave 5% to missions. Even though in my mind, I thought we were being generous and obeying God, we still did not have the blessings of God because we were not being obedient with the tithe. I don't get to dictate where the tithe goes, and we like to have control, don't we? This releases control, my control. God determines that. That's up to God. Let's look at 2 Chronicles. Further proof of this, the principle of first. This is a time where Hezekiah and the people, they're in an economic recession. Very similar to practically what we're facing right now. Worse. It was worse for them at this time, though. Hezekiah realizes they're under a curse. The whole nation's under a curse. They're not honoring God with the first. They're not tithing. So the king gives an order, 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 4. So they're struggling, and the king gives this order. He commanded the people who lived in Jerusalem to give a portion due to the priests and the Levites that they might give themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the command was spread abroad, the people of Israel gave in abundance the first, so they gave the first fruits of grain, wine, oil, honey, and all of the produce of the field. And they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. And the people of Israel and Judah who lived in the cities of Judah also brought in the tithe of cattle and sheep and the tithe of designated things that had been dedicated to the Lord their God, and they laid them in heaps. In the third month, they began to pile up the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. When Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. And Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites about the heaps. Ezra is like, basically, what are you doing? You got all this stuff here, and you got the people are given this. You got this heap. And so Azariah, the chief priest, who was of the house of Zadok, answered him. Now watch. Since they begin to bring the contributions into the house of the Lord, we have eaten and have had enough and plenty left, for the Lord has blessed his people, so that now we have this large amount left. Before this, it doesn't make sense on paper, does it? Before they gave the first, they didn't have enough, and they struggled, and they struggled greatly. Why? They were under a curse. Once they honored the principle of first, not only did they have enough, but they had more than enough. Why? Because God broke the curse. Honoring this principle breaks the curse in every aspect of our life. We talked about time, we talked about family, talked about finances, every area of our life. You see it through all throughout Scripture. I've seen it in my own life. Like I said, I live this. Only when the curse is broken will you start to see the blessings of God in your life. God said in Malachi that we could test him. He said, test me and see if I don't open the floodgates. This is the only area in Scripture where we're told we could test him. Test me. Test me with your time. Test me in all those areas. Now, if you're not putting God first in your life in this area, because I feel like this is one of the most, finances is one of the most difficult things to put God in. It was difficult for us as well. It's difficult to get started because when you're used to spending 100% of your income, or even more than that if you're using credit, it can be difficult to do that. So how do you start? Well, I'm going to tell you what I did. I'm going to teach you what I did. And, you know, you can use these or not use these. You can take this and throw it away if you want. It's totally between you and God. I'm just trying to give you some very practical advice. And these are very simple. But knowing what to do and actually doing it are two different things. So number one is learn to wait. This is hard. Too many people buy on impulse, and I have been guilty of this as well. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 20 says, "The trustworthy person will get a rich reward, but a person who wants quick riches will get into trouble." We don't like to wait for things. We want it right now. We like to press the buy button on our phone, and before the confirmation screen even pops up, Amazon is leaving our driveway. That's what we like. Now, there's nothing wrong with that as long as you can pay the bill at the end of the month. Waiting is not a bad thing. I've found that saving up and waiting actually makes you appreciate things a little bit more. We've now started to redo our kitchen at home. It'll take a while, probably 30 years to finish that thing. Who knows? But we've been waiting a long time to start that project. We've waited 5 years now to start that project. We've wanted to do this for 5 years. We could have done it 5 years ago, but it would have put us in a pretty big mess, if you know what I mean. I've had people come up to me before, and they're wanting to purchase a high-ticket item. Don't ask me if you should purchase a high-ticket item, and they say, "Pastor, should I buy this?" I say, "I don't know." That's not a pastor question. That's a math question. I don't know your income. I don't know your expenses. Only you would know that. It's between you and God. So number one, learn to wait. Number two, live on a budget. I just lost half of you. The word budget's a swear word to some of us. But here are seven benefits to living on a budget. You might have heard of some of these. I'm just trying to give you some practical advice. Because in our household, the tithe is something that we actually budget. This is a part of our budget. So seven benefits. Number one, it helps us see things more clearly, helps us see the bigger picture. Number two, it makes us examine and clarify our values and priorities. Basically, is this purchase going to get me closer to my goal? Sometimes we don't even have goals in lives, and we just kind of free will spend our money, and we never move towards a certain goal. Number three, it provides a basis for discussion and agreement. This is especially important if you're married. I use Mr. Budget all the time on my wife. Mr. Budget's a part of our home. No, I'm just kidding. It provides accountability. It protects you from freely blowing money and getting yourself into trouble, which we've all done. Number five, it helps us live within our means. Number six, it helps us live without debt or without much debt. And number seven, it builds character and discipline in our lives. And all of those are in the sermon notes on YouVersion if you're using that. But budgets are important. I'm surprised at how many people don't live on a budget. If you need help with learning how to budget, there are millions of resources online that can help you. You just have to put the work in. There's no excuse for not following a budget like this. Can it be tough? Yeah, it can be tough, but I guarantee you it'll save a lot of headaches. And then number three, live below your means. Basically, don't spend more than you make. If you make $1,000 and you spend $1,100, then you have a math problem and you're going to get into trouble. Listen to me. Every one of you in this room, every one of you watching online, you have a destiny and a call from God. You will not reach your destiny if you do not learn how to get this right. I have seen so many people get this wrong, and they struggle, and they struggle, and they struggle. Why? Because the principle of God will put the blessing of God on your life, and you need the blessing of God to fulfill your destiny. I'm going to close with a story. I'm going to have Sam come on back up if you could at this time. When I was a little boy, I would sometimes stay with my grandparents on my mother's side. They lived in a different town than I did, so I would visit them from time to time. I'd spend the weekend with them, and my grandparents were godly people. They very faithfully attended church wherever they lived, as long as I can remember. They were always faithful to the house of God. I remember one weekend I stayed the night at their home, and I was playing in my grandpa's office area. And I glanced up at his desk and I noticed a check that he had written out to the local church that they attended. For those of you that don't know what checks are, those are things that us older people used to use to pay your bills. But I seen a check written out to their local church for $80. And I remember this very vividly because as a little boy, that's an enormous amount of money. And I couldn't figure out who in their right mind would give that much money away. I thought he's crazy. And I grabbed the check and I took it to him. I said, "Grandpa, why are you giving so much money, your money away?" I will never forget what he said. He said, "Matthew," he said, that's not our money. He said, "You need to understand that belongs to God. You see, we haven't always been blessed like this. And God has blessed your grandmother and me very, very well. We've never had to worry about where we're going to live. We never had to worry about what we're going to eat. We've always had enough." He said, "Anytime God blesses me with income, I always return the first part back to him because I am so thankful he's given me the strength to earn this money. And today, now that I'm older," I didn't truly understand it then, "but now that I'm older, I look back on my entire poverty-stricken family, my entire family poverty-stricken. You've heard my story. There are times I didn't even know what I was going to eat. Entire family poverty-stricken. And as I look back today, I realize my grandparents on my mother's side were the only exception to the rule. They were the only ones in my entire family that never seemed to struggle with this part of their life. And I'm sure they had their moments, but compared to the rest of my family, they were blessed. Do you know how many of my relatives honored God with the first? Only them. In all my family, they're the only ones. Of all my family, they were the only ones that were stable. But they were the only ones that put God first. Interesting. This is why we teach this to our kids. Ask them, they'll tell you. And we say, "You can do what you want. We're not going to be mad at you. We're not going to love you any less. It's your life. But if you want to see the blessings of God in your life, if you want God to bless your marriage, then you'll put him first in your marriage. Bless your children, put him first in your family. Bless your time, put him first in your time. Bless your finances, put him first in your finances. Honor him with the first of all that you do. If you do, he promises to break the curse." We can't make that decision for them, and I can't make the decision for you. It's up to you. Will I put God first in my life? I'm going to have you bow your heads and close your eyes. Before we pray to end this service, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to take a moment, and I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. I don't know your situation. I don't know where you're at, but I want more than anything to see the blessings of God on your life. Nothing thrills me more than just see God blessing his people. And when people get it, I want to see you financially prosper. I want to see your marriage prosper. I want your kids to be blessed. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment, and I just want God to speak to you. We're going to take a moment. I want you to ask God a question, and then we're just going to sit, and I want you to give God a chance to speak to you, and I just want you to listen to him. I believe God changed my message for a reason today, so I believe there's someone he's wanting to speak to. And so the question I want you to ask God, is there any area of my life that I'm not putting you first? Might even be something that we didn't talk about today. God, is there any area of my life that I'm not putting you first? And I just want you to listen to him. Let's do that right now. Just ask God that question, and we're going to take a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would speak to your people today. We're all at a different spot in life. We've all been through different things. We come from different upbringings. So I know, God, for me, there's some things it's been difficult to give you first. Coming from a family of poverty, the finance was one thing that was hard for me. There's been other things that's been hard for me, God, to give you first. But Lord, I just want to thank you for your promises. You are faithful. So Holy Spirit, I just pray you'd speak to people today. God, right where they're at. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, keep your head bowed and your eyes closed.